coming to you live from our secret underground lair.
This is Gotham Undercover,
a Golden Spiral Media podcast dedicated to the Fox television series Gotham.
This week we discuss a new chapter from the storybook of Gotham's villains and defenders of justice.
Now it's time to join your hosts, Tim Arthur and Karen Lindsay, for
Gotham Undercover.
Hey, citizens of Gotham. Once again, I'm Tim.
And I'm Karen.
And we're back to talk about the season one finale episode of Gotham. This one's called All Happy Families Are Alike, the 22nd episode of season one and final episode of season one, written by Bruno Heller, who adapted Gotham for TV, and directed by Danny Cannon, who also directed the pilot episode.
That's right.
Wow.
They kind of brought it.
Yeah, there's a little bit going on in this episode, if you will.
A little bit, yeah.
So what's your initial reaction? I think as we'll see kind of later on in the discussion, I think you kind of dug it a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I like how they set up all the stuff for season two. And they pretty much just, they went, look, here's the characters. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I really liked it, too. I think it answered a couple of questions that we had. Proved maybe kind of sort of true a couple of tangential theories that I had in terms of what I thought would be coming up next. But with a bit of a twist, I was correct a little bit, I guess. We'll get into that, too. But we did want to share some feedback that we received via audio from Jess in Atlanta. So give this a listen.
Hey, this is Jess in Atlanta sending in feedback for the Gotham season finale. I didn't think this felt as much like a finale as it did as a setup episode, which is kind of strange. But I think there's a lot that it really is setting up for season two. I mean, I thought it was pretty cool how the Riddler kind of emerged and we saw that he completely broke down after he killed Doherty, or whatever that guy's name was. And then I actually really enjoyed the psychotic version of Barbara Keene. That was kind of fun, although I'm glad she didn't end up killing Lee, because I actually kind of like her. And then, of course, we saw the Batcave, so I wasn't really expecting that. There's a lot that they set up for the next season, so it'll be interesting to see where they go with it and how many of our favorite villains and characters will start emerging. So anyway, looking forward to next season, and thanks for doing the podcast.
Hey, thanks for submitting that feedback, Jess. We really appreciate it. And if you'd like to submit your own feedback, feel free to call the GSM voice feedback line at 304-837-2278.
And you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can send a text, which will come to us via email. You can attach an audio file, or you can use the SpeakPipe widget.
Right, yeah. But I got to say, I kind of agree with Jess to some extent.
Yeah, I do too.
There was no real cliffhanger, right?
No.
Typically you'll see.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. That's kind of not the norm for a season ender, right?
Right.
But I liked it because, you know, like she said, we got to see the Batcave, man. That's awesome.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly a tied up with a bow on top either, though. It was like, look, here's the stuff that we're going to do for next season.
Yep.
Because they already know they're getting a season two.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, look, get excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they accomplished that. At least in my case, they did. So,
right. Well, she definitely kind of touched on all points, and we'll go a little bit deeper in our dive here. But it really was setting up for next season. And if they don't really stray too far from those kinds of things for us to expect, I think it's going to be a great second season.
Yeah, I do too.
So let's go ahead and talk about, we really didn't see any new characters because all the characters kind of came out for this one.
Yeah, exactly. I think we saw every old character except maybe Ivy.
We didn't see Lucius.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
But I think he just got introduced so that we would see him next season. So
we saw Kat with kind of a new stylish hair you know,
yeah,
haircut.
I think
there.
Fish wanted to model her in her image.
Yeah, somebody actually posted a video on Facebook yesterday. I guess Cameron Bikondova, who played Selena, shared a video of her and her friends kind of hanging out. She's like, I'm so excited to be able to see the finale tonight, and I hope you're going to watch. And she was, I mean, she's, I think, like 14, 15 years old, right? She's kind of young. And it was just kind of fun to see, you know, her getting giddy to see, you know.
She's adorable,
yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah, she's she's a nice young girl. So let's get into the police. We did see, what's his name, come back? Peter Scolari there.
Yes, the commissioner. Yeah. Commissioner Loeb.
Loeb, that's right. I keep forgetting his last name. I think it's
okay.
It's Loeb. Yep. But we saw him come back, and, you know, I was kind of watching the character because after I finally put it together a couple of weeks ago when you mentioned, oh, that's Peter Scolari, and I kept
when
thinking,
I said bosom buddy,
I kept thinking, oh, and he's talking with like a, he's walking away, and he's like, oh, he's all yours. Yeah. I'm like, that's awesome.
I know, right? You can't unsee it once you know. Yeah.
Too much fun. I just, you know.
He's so great.
I was waiting for like an ascot and like some lipstick or something, you know.
Exactly. He's great. I love seeing him in a baddie role. I really do. I'm used to seeing him in that sort of fun, like juggly. He juggles. I mean, that's one of his big things is that he juggles.
I remember that.
And he's fun and he's, you know, kind of the sidekicky sort of role. It's really fun to see him in this kind of bad guy, putting on a good face to the public, but really a super bad guy. Mm-hmm. I really love him in that role. He's just deliciously bad. So I hope he comes back next season.
Yeah, so we had some interesting things going on here with the police force, and actually one of the things that I actually enjoyed is that at one point in time, Jim Gordon was kind of cuffed up right next to Falcone.
Yeah.
That was kind of interesting, right? And he's like, by the way, they didn't take my knife. It's in my boot or my shoe or something like that, or my sock. Right.
Yeah, and Gordon was a little skeptical, so I guess that means we can escape. You know, he was like, I doubt it, but whatever.
Yeah. So obviously last week the ogre died, and we do see some of the remnants, if you will, of that episode in the fact that Barbara is confiding, if you will, in a therapeutical way in Leslie, you know, in terms of having Lee kind of help her, you know, sort out the trauma that she went through with killing her parents and having been kidnapped herself and all that. So we did see some of the remnants of last week, and that's pretty much it in terms of tying it to last week. Some of the other things that we saw that really kind of stuck out to me as high points, if you will, are when Kris Kringle was confronting Ed about the letter that Doherty was sent.
Yep.
And she noticed that the first letter of the first five sentences spelled Enigma, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me that she figured that out.
And he plays like, must be a coincidence. And he's laughing. He's great. He's literally one of my favorite parts of the show.
Yeah.
You know, I guess also the point from last week where Maroney was kind of going to shoot up all of Falcone's places and those types of things that continued. And, we saw that all kind of really come to a head because somebody else comes back into town as well. So.
Oh yes. Yeah. Miss Fish.
The Bedazzler.
Yeah. And she emerges from the water.
Yep. So
walking onto land. Yeah, like an evolved.
So Selena's there with some of her vagrant friends, right? Kind of just like, I think they're like all doing like bonfire, you know, trash can bonfire, you know, things like that.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, and she sees this boat come up and there's like, honestly, I didn't know it was her in the beginning. I'm like, who the heck is that? It looks like, you know, when a ship is sailing and it looks like there's like a mermaid on the masthead or something like that.
Right.
It was almost like that because there was this cloaked figure in the front of the boat.
Dramatic.
Yeah. And she walks out. Yeah. And she kind of emerges and, you know, immediately kind of, it looks kind of like she's trying to take Kat under her wing, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like she has an intuition that Kat is someone that she could work with. Right. And she says, you know, hello. And Kat goes, hello, little girl. I ain't no little girl, you know?
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. And we saw them kind of become, involved in terms of, as they plotted through this episode. The interesting thing that I thought was when she showed up and, kind of saw how Butch was.
Yeah.
And the thing that really struck me as odd was she didn't treat him very nicely either.
No.
You know, she
No, she didn't. She didn't like that he wasn't under her spell, yeah. I think was the deal.
Yeah.
You know, she thought that he had been treated poorly by Oswald, but she also noticed that he wasn't like ready to do her bidding. You know, that I think that was the crux of the whole matter, mm-hmm. was that he wasn't under her spell anymore.
Right.
He was dull, you know, a dull shell of what he used to be.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the series of events that takes place in this particular episode. So the Penguin, I'm trying to think, Gordon's trying to get away.
Right.
He's driving a truck and, I'm trying to remember how he got taken back. Was it Penguin that grabbed them? No, it was Fish. It was Fish and her crew of merry little kids.
Yeah, Penguin comes in with a gun and starts shooting, but he runs out of bullets, and then Fish shows up. And you know, her goon squad takes everybody.
And then they're all kind of chained up, and then we get to the point where Maroney shows up and he's like, oh, look at this. Oh no, she calls Maroney.
Right.
And says I've got something that you want.
Right.
And she brings him to where Gordon and Falcone are kind of chained up there.
Right.
And also isn't Oswald handcuffed, right? Yes, he is. Oswald's there too. So
they're all four.
They're all of them. They're all there. And
I like how she goes along the line and she's like, you?
I'm cool. And then she gets to Bullock and she's like, we're cool.
Right.
I'm like, that's awesome.
You and I, we're cool.
Yeah.
I love that one. He actually does like an audible sigh, like, oh, thank goodness.
You know, but then while they're kind of all still up there, she shoots Maroney blank in the head.
Well, because so, he doesn't want to co-rule.
Keeps calling her babes.
Yeah.
She doesn't like that.
He wants her to be an underboss.
And he explains it, too.
Yeah, you're going to report to me. You're not going to be my right hand. You're going to be my foot.
Yeah.
Under my foot, essentially.
She didn't like that.
No, that's not what she wanted. Look what I brought you. I deserve better than that.
So he's dead. He's gone.
He's out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, so Bullock cuts free Falcone with a knife, kind of cuts the ropes to get him free and gets everybody else out of there. And then later on, we see a situation where... actually, Falcone is having a conversation with Gordon. And this was actually kind of, I thought, in a way significant because he gives him the knife that his father gave him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool, kind of passing the baton in a way.
Right. So we get to see how close Falcone and Gordon's father were.
Mm-hmm.
And he's passing that knowledge down to the son, saying, you know, he was a good man, and, you know, even though I'm a bad guy, I saw the value in your father, and you need to rule this city now.
And he's telling Gordon, you know, I'm just going to go down south and relax, you know.
Yep. So this is how he stays in the picture, but he's not in the picture.
Right. And then Fish catches, you know, they're talking to Fish, and she's like, is that true? You're just going to retire? You know, am I supposed to believe that? Kind of, he's like, yeah, that was kind of the idea.
Yep.
And she's not really buying that, but we're not going to really have to deal with Fish anymore.
No.
Next season, because there's a really one of the better scenes in the episode.
Yeah.
Is when Butch is wielding a pistol pointed at both her and Penguin.
Right.
As they're struggling, and they're both like trying to one up each other in terms of, oh, Butch, you know, I'm your boy, Butch.
It's like when two people want the same dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you decide on who gets the dog is when you call the dog, and whoever the dog goes to is who gets the dog.
Right.
You know that? Hey, come here, boy. Come on. Come on. It's like they were doing that. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't having it. So he just kind of kneecaps both of them.
Yeah. He shoots them both in like the leg or the knee or whatnot. Doesn't kill him.
Right.
But here's kind of a, I want to ask you if you think this is kind of a continuity problem in this particular episode. So, you know, he kind of kneecaps him, and then, you know, there's a struggle, and then basically Penguin pushes Fish over the edge into the water.
Yep. Yep.
And then he climbs up and he's like, I'm the king of Gotham. Now, okay. Physically, is the guy going to be able to do that after he's just been shot in the leg with a pistol?
Well, my thought, I had that same thought, but my thought was maybe Butch shot for the foot and hit him in the shoe or something, because, you know, his shoes are huge.
Yeah, maybe.
Or, you know, he's on adrenaline, or, I mean, there's a few things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or he shot him in the fleshy part of his thigh or something. He could be in pain, but running on adrenaline. Or, you know, it's a TV show and and he's not hurt.
I don't know.
Holy fruit salad.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, it was, it stood out. I'll put it that way.
So we see the end of the Maroney storyline. We see the end probably of the Fish Mooney storyline, I would imagine, because we know Jada's not coming back.
Right.
Maybe,
but they did leave it open, mm-hmm, in case she wanted to. I mean, her head's not cut off.
She could, like, special guest star, you know, sea monster fish. The fish crawls out of the ocean.
Right.
Or something
right.
like that.
On all fours.
Yeah. But
yeah, unless your head is cut off on Gotham, you're not dead, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's one of the other storylines that definitely got some significant play. As I mentioned earlier, Barbara was attending therapy, if you will, with Dr. Leslie Tompkins. And she was really asking some questions that were, I think it was telescoping a little bit in terms of what happened later in the episode, because
yeah,
she was asking questions like, oh, did he say he loved you? You know, is he your boyfriend? And Leslie was very good at kind of dancing around these things.
Right. Although she did come right out and say no, that
yeah,
he hasn't told
yeah,
me he loves me.
Yeah.
And we know he has.
Yeah.
But it's none of Barbara's business.
She was clearly uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know.
Now, I know that we're linking the therapy to last episode,
mm-hmm,
but I think that therapy goes way
back
to like the very beginning of the series.
But because she started talking about the therapy and the fact that she had killed her parents.
Right. And not just that, but like we get flashes of her, like, you know, going out with Jim and seeing Jim with Leslie. And like there's little flashes that we see that are in Barbara's head.
She talks about the relationship too, about how she would just lay there and think at night when he was
right,
gone.
Right. I mean, mm-hmm, she's wacko.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, you and I have been talking for the last few episodes of the podcast about, you know, we just really hope that that he doesn't go with Barbara, you know, not the way she is, at least.
Well, he's definitely not going to now.
No, this is not going to happen.
And I have to make an observation, though. She in this episode was wearing probably the least revealing outfit she's worn all season.
Yes, she was very demure.
She had a knee length get up on this episode.
Yes, and it covered everything. No pretty cleavage.
Much. Yeah, how about that?
Only her arms showing, essentially, and her, you know, knees down. And I wonder if she wasn't putting on a show for Jim.
Well, I think it was her wrestling uniform that she had on.
That's her.
I'm going to try to murder my ex-boyfriend's girlfriend's outfit, and I need
ready
to protect.
For fist cuffs. Yeah.
That was probably made out of like chain link or Teflon or something, right?
Mail, yeah. Chain mail, yeah.
Yeah, you know. But so we did see them. She pulls a nice piece of cutlery out and goes after Leslie. Leslie's not cut, but they toss each other around pretty well, and it ends up with Leslie kind of on top of Barbara, bashing her head onto the ground, and then Jim shows up. Hello. Right.
And it looks bad when he shows up.
But I think he quickly understood what was going on.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, we don't get the resolution of that.
Well, she runs over and says, you know, that she had just attacked her. And
yeah,
I would imagine any kind of cursory investigation would show that she had a knife, you know.
Good.
And all these
I
things.
Hope so, too. Yeah. And also, she does confess completely to killing her parents.
Right.
With no remorse whatsoever. Mm-hmm. That, you know, she confronted her parents about the things they used to say and do to her, about how they would put her down and call her fat and that she would never amount to anything. And then she killed them. Mm-hmm. She cut them and killed them, and, you know, that she felt empowered. And she also asks Leslie if Jim hits her.
Right.
Almost like she's saying, well, you know, the ogre, I can't remember what his real name was, but the ogre hit her. And it's, you know, she is almost like wishing that Jim did the same thing to Leslie. And I'm not quite sure what that whole thing's about. But, you know, she seems like that. She wants everyone to be in this sort of abusive relationship, or she's jealous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't get the whole "does Jim hit you" thing, but that is weird.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hey, I killed my parents. And then she goes for Leslie, and that was a tense scene. Hmm. Crazy. But I hope you're right. And that Jim gets that she was doing it in self-defense.
Yeah.
Because I don't want there to be any confusion over that. I don't want him to turn against Leslie over that. I was worried. Because when he walks in, she's, you know, it looks like she's, you know.
So let me ask you this. Is she around next season for there to be Jim to contemplate, if you will?
Leslie and Barbara?
Both of them.
I assume so. Mm. At least in the beginning of the season.
Right.
Because they're both alive.
Yeah.
Unless they put Barbara away.
Arkham. I kind of think that might be the case.
Yeah, she's going to be crazy.
Because she is crazy.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is she going to turn into a villain? Or is she just going to be crazy?
I don't know.
I mean, she might be a villain, not like a super villain, but like a villain to Jim. You know what I mean? Like someone, if she escapes Arkham or whatever, she might go after Leslie again in season two. We might have to watch for that.
So let's talk a little bit about Ed. We talked, I mentioned earlier that Kris Kringle kind of figures out the kind of cryptic. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't intentional. Maybe it wasn't, though. It could have been coincidental that did that. But we are talking about the Riddler here.
That what did what?
Spell out his name like that.
Oh, no, he meant to do it on purpose.
Yeah.
He said, why did you leave a clue?
Yeah, okay, that's right.
But he can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing.
And they had a really good kind of visual montage of him freaking out.
That was fantastic.
Pretty heavily.
Reminded me of like the opening to Seven almost.
It reminded me of different parts of like Jacob's Ladder too.
Oh, yes.
Like
oh.
the whole, you know, on the train.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Good call. Good call. Really
cool. That's one of my
jittery cameras.
Yep.
Yeah. Quick cuts. Very good.
Yep.
And that was crazy. He is the Riddler now. I mean, no question.
Yep. He has, that is. I think when we see Ed showing up in season two, he will be in full effect Riddler mode. Maybe we'll get a funky costume. Who knows?
Yeah. It might be reminiscent of a Riddler costume, but I don't think it's going to be like full on tights.
Oh, no, no, no. Over the top type Jim Carrey-ish or even 60s TV show. No.
Right. Because we're early in his run of the Riddler, but he is definitely the Riddler. I mean, it's just. Mm.
And then we've still got the King of Gotham, Penguin.
Yeah, and he is full on Penguin.
Yeah, and I think honestly, I think this puts the show in a better place, right?
Yeah,
because
Gotham is crazy now.
Although I really did, and I used to tell Ryan about this all the time. I really used to like Fish when she had the club, and she would have these pontificating monologues where she would be like. You know, sweetheart, when I was a girl, she that kind of thing. She'd like, she'd like give you a master's class in drama,
right?
In like 2 minutes. That she didn't do that. You know, later in the season when after she went to the organ harvesting place and all that, and I thought, you know, especially when the news that Jada wasn't coming back, I'm like, okay, you know, let's get on with this and let's move along. And I think they did a good job in leaving the pieces at the end of the episode, much like Jess said, really just setting up next season, not really a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did enjoy the sequence. Bruce was, the last couple of episodes, he's been into finding secrets, looking for secrets, trying to find out what the, you know, what kind of a man his father was, what secrets did he have? And we learned that his father used to go into his office and lock the door and listen to classical music.
Now, there's the detective.
Yep.
Because that's the one thing he always is the detective.
He was always scouring the newspapers and doing his research and always from the first episode.
Yep.
So.
So good. And let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think Alfred knew? Do you think he was in the dark?
No, not at all. Absolutely not.
Okay.
I think Alfred really... Aside from his parents, he's really been kind of a patriarch in the family at a high level, I think. And we see that, you know, kind of even later on, even in the Nolan films, he's always had that kind of knowledge of the family and it's everything about it, if you will, the history of the family,
mm-hmm.
it seems like. But
so he knew about that basement, you think?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. And, I thought so too.
And I don't think it's a Bat Cave. I think it's what's going to evolve obviously into the Bat Cave.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think maybe it just has a bunch of records and files and, you know, stuff that his father kept down there.
So the classical music was coming from there and not right. the office, which I thought was interesting.
Right.
So all the time that Bruce was hearing this music as a child, as a younger child, it was emanating from you know, this lower section of underneath the home, which I thought was really cool.
Right. That was really great. And to hear the bats.
Oh, yeah. That was really cool. I was waiting for it. I'm like, there it is.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, though. So we know that Bruce has always been a detective and we see kind of this big reveal at the end of the episode, if you will. But mm-hmm. the focal point of the season started out with the search for his parents' killers.
Mm-hmm.
There has been no talk or discussion about that in a long time. Do you think that they've just moved on from that plot line or that plot line will resurface at some point in time?
I think it's going to come back. Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, I think part of his focus was the Wayne Industries. And I think perhaps he's going to run across stuff down in that basement that might lead him to clues, you know, that perhaps that was linked to it, or he might think it is, at least. So he might pick up a thread there and pick it back up next season.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to drop it. I mean, Bruce never drops it.
He doesn't drop anything. Doesn't leave any stone unturned, if you will.
No, he doesn't, ever. So,
is there anything else that you in terms of moments of this episode that you can kind of pick out personally that you liked, that stood out to you that we haven't talked about already?
Well, I liked when Jim talks to the rookie cop who salutes him, mm-hmm. and he says, I am a non-entity here. You yeah. look like a rube when you salute me.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. I loved when Fish says, I love this girl, when she says, how are you going to kill them? When Kat says, how are you going to kill them? That was amazing. It's just so rich with things, this episode.
I like too, when Kat was talking to Jim, how she's like, well, just because we kind of like know each other.
Right. When he's saying, untie me with his eyes.
You think
she's
I'm
like,
just,
oh
yeah.
So is that some sort of sign to tell me to untie you, when she says it really loud, like, you know, I'm giving this away just because I kind of know you? No, I don't think so.
And then, of course, the Penguin pulls the Jim, you owe me a favor card too.
Yeah, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah,
we knew it. That was coming down Main Street.
So my theory about Barbara was somewhat played out.
Right.
Because my original theory was during the arc of, well, it actually kind of did play out to some extent, but not in the way I thought it would. I thought that under kind of his tutelage, if you will, he was going to manipulate her into killing someone else.
Right.
Which he kind of did with her parents.
Right. Well, she wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
If he hadn't taken her up there and made her into that kind of person. I think he goaded her.
But my theory was that, you know, since the ogre wanted to hurt somebody that was trying to hunt him down, if you will, by hurting a loved one, the end game for Barbara, I thought, in terms of the ogre storyline, was going to be that he was going to spare her because he would rather get to Gordon than harm her.
Right.
And he would manipulate her to kill off Lee.
Right.
Was my thought. But I'm glad Lee's alive, because I love Marina. And I'm hoping she comes back next season to continue this character.
Me too. Please come back, Marina. She just has to come back. I want her to be the wife. I really do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's have some kids with her.
Well, she does not have, I think this is her only series work that she's doing right now. So that's kind of, that's good. That's boding well for Gotham, right?
Well, she's the voice of the computer on The Flash, but I don't think that's going to interfere with anything.
That's just some ADR work, though.
Right. So. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's keep her, please.
Team Whedon, gotta have it. Yep. So I don't know. It was, I think, an overall satisfying episode. And,
yeah. I'm very pleased with it.
Yeah. But we're going to cut it, actually not cutting it too short this week, but we want to know what your thoughts are out there and your theories about what you've seen. You know, what did you think of the finale, about the fact that we're now left with the Riddler and Penguin? And what are your predictions for what we're going to see in the beginning of season two? We'd love to know. You can hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is @GothamGSM. You can also join our Gotham Undercover group on Facebook by going to www.facebook.com/groups/GothamGSM. You just have to ask to be in the group, and we'll let you come in and join in the discussion.
That's right. We'll be talking all summer, I'm sure.
So we've talked for about 34 minutes or so about this episode, and it's the time of the show where we're going to give it a rating. And I'm going to let you go first.
All right. I'm giving it a 9.5 fishes sleeping with the fishes.
Ah, awesome. So you liked 9.5, almost a perfect 10.
Well, I'm grading it on a Gotham score.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And in terms of Gotham, this was just a stellar episode. I mean, you couldn't set it up better for season two, I don't think.
I agree. And my rating is 9 cats hanging with fish followed by a cat fight out of 10.
That was great. Are you ready for a cat fight?
Yeah. So I wanted to tell you too, I was reading some commentary on Gotham, the show as a whole. And this one particular person was talking about how they really should infuse some more campiness into the show. And I'm thinking, I think it works pretty well the way it is.
Yeah. I like the darkness.
Just a good level of silliness or absurdity, you know, but still some realistic darkness and themes. But I thought it was interesting because there's a lot of debate about the show in terms of the tone that it should set. And I think it for a rookie show to come on at 8 o'clock, which I think is a horrible time slot for this type of show personally, but it's done well.
Yeah.
They renewed it early in the run. They actually ordered 6 more episodes than the original order was. And I think they managed to flesh out a pretty, likable storyline for the entire season, which they obviously had to do some expansion on because they only had 16 episodes written.
Right. And I think they did a great job because these back episodes were, I think, really great.
I think the last 4 episodes were probably markedly some of the best of the entire run of the first season.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think they really laid it down in these last episodes, because we talked about it, that it was like every other one was good, but these last few were just consistently good.
Yeah, they were at the top of their game. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to wrap it up for our investigation this week and for the first season of Gotham. We're going to be back over the summer hiatus occasionally, so stay tuned to that Facebook group and watch us on Twitter, because Karen and I are going to get together occasionally to talk about developments. You know, maybe they announce a new cast member, or they talk about the show in some way. If we catch some interesting news, we'd love to share it with you. So keep your eyes on the social feeds, and also be sure you're subscribing to the show in iTunes, because anytime we release a new episode, that'll get pulled right down for you automatically. And we'd really appreciate it if you could just head over to goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes. That's going to bring you to our main iTunes page, where you can see all of the Golden Spiral Media shows. And if you could leave us a review there, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And I'm assuming when it comes time for Gotham to show up again in the fall, we'll be doing a catch-up episode
to
get you up to speed for season 2.
Absolutely.
And maybe some predictions.
Yeah. So we're not signing off for the remainder of the year. We're just kind of signing off until something really cool happens with Gotham. We might even do an entire season recap episode or something like that.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be a longer episode. Maybe we'd bring some guests on. So if you're interested in joining us for that type of a discussion, either via feedback or maybe even during the discussion, let us know in the group or on Twitter.
Yeah, that'd be great. Will Ivy grow into her role in season 2? For the answer to this question and more, tune in next week.
Same Gotham time, same Gotham channel. We'll catch you soon, everyone.